Welcome to the Folktale Project. This is Dan Scholes. Today's story is actually perfectly set for today, our last day of stories for this week, at least, in the telling of the story of our son. This particular tale, as I said, it is perfect, Violet's sacrifice, because it is a built-in cliffhanger. We learn of a sacrifice, or I should say, an impending sacrifice. This is Violet's Sacrifice. When the dinner hour came, Violet arose, dressed herself, and entered the dining room where Aniela and Passrose were awaiting her. Our son was not there.
"Our son is not with you, mother," said Violet.
"I have not seen him,"
said Aniela.
"Nor I," said Passrose.
"I will go and seek him."
She entered his chamber and found him seated upon his bed, his head resting upon his arm.
"Come, our son, come quick, we are waiting dinner for you."
"I cannot come," said our son, in a weak voice. I have a strange heaviness in my head."
Passrose flew to inform Aniela and Violet of his illness, and they were by his side in an instant. Our son made an effort to rise in order to reassure them, but he fell upon a chair. Aniela found that he had a violent fever, and she prevailed upon him to lie down. Violet absolutely refused to leave him.
"I am the cause of his illness," she said, "and I will not leave his side till he is well. I shall die of anxiety if you force me to leave my dear brother."
Aniela and Passrose also installed themselves near their dear invalid, but alas, soon poor our son did not recognize them. He was delirious. He called his mother and Violet every moment, and continued to call them most importunately, and to complain of their absence, even while they were holding him in their arms. Aniela and Violet never left him day nor night during all his sickness. The eighth day, Aniela, exhausted with fatigue, had fallen asleep near the poor sufferer's bed. His difficult respiration and lifeless eyes seemed to announce the approach of death. Violet was on her knees, holding and pressing in her fine white hands the hairy hands of our son, and covering them with tears and kisses. In the midst of this scene of desolation, a clear, sweet song interrupted the mournful silence of the chamber of the dying boy. Violet started. This soft melody seemed to bring consolation and happiness. She raised her head and saw a lark perched upon the open shutter.
"Violet,"
said the lark. Violet trembled fearfully.
"Violet," repeated the little soft voice of the lark, "do you love our son?"
"Do I love him? Ah, I love him. I love him more than anyone else, more than I love myself."
"Would you purchase his life at the price of your happiness?"
"Yes, gladly I would purchase life for him by the sacrifice of my happiness and of my own life."
"Listen, then, Violet. I am the fairy Drolette. I love our son. I love you, and I love your family. The venom which my sister, the fairy Furious, has blown upon the head of our son is sufficient to cause his death. Nevertheless, if you are sincere, if you really feel for our son the sentiments of gratitude and tenderness which you express, his life is in your hands. You are permitted to redeem it. But remember that you will soon be called upon to give the most terrible proof of your attachment, and that if he lives, you will pay for his existence by a most horrible sacrifice."
"Oh, madam, quick! Quick, tell me what I am to do to save my dear our son. Nothing will be terrible for me. All will be joy and happiness if you aid me to save my brother our son."
"Well, my child, very well," replied the fairy. "Kiss his left ear 3 times, saying to each kiss, 'To thee, for thee, with thee.' Reflect again, Violet, before undertaking this cure. If you are not prepared for the most difficult sacrifices, the greatest misfortunes will overwhelm you, and my sister Furious will be the mistress of your life."
As her only reply, Violet crossed her hands upon her breast, cast upon the fairy who was about to fly away a look of tender gratitude, and throwing herself upon our son, she kissed his left ear 3 times, saying, with an accent loving and penetrating,
"To thee, for thee, with thee."
Scarcely had she said these words when our son uttered a profound sigh, opened his eyes, perceived Violette seizing her hands, carried them to his lips, saying,
"Violette, dear Violette, it seems to me that I am awaking from a long dream. Tell me all that has passed. Why am I here? Why are you so pale and thin? Your cheeks are hollow. You seem to have grown old, and your beautiful eyes are red with weeping."
"Hush," said Violette. "Do not wake your mother, who is sleeping by your side. She has not slept for a long time and is much fatigued. You have been very ill, our son."
"And you, dear Violette, have you been resting?"
Violette blushed and hesitated.
"How could I sleep, dear our son, when I was the cause of all your sufferings?"
Our son was silent. He looked at her tenderly, kissed her hands, and again asked her to tell him what had passed. She told him, but she was too modest and too truly devoted to reveal to him the price that the fairy had affixed to his cure. Arson, therefore, was far from knowing the truth. Arson now felt himself restored to health, rose up, proceeded to his mother softly, and awakened her by a kiss. Agnella thought she was delirious and called Passerose, who was astonished when Violette told them that Arson had been restored by the good fairy Drolette. After this, Arson and Violette loved each other more tenderly than ever, and they never left each other unless their occupations forced them to be apart. And that is the sixth chapter in the story of our son, Violette's Sacrifice. This is the perfect cliffhanger. We know that something is hanging. There is a sacrifice that will be called upon from Violette, but we don't know what it is. But we do know that our son is whole again. And right now, that's kind of all we're left with. I really can't wait to pick back up on Monday with a new story in the tale of our son. This is Dan Scholes for the Folktale Project. Don't forget that you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Overcast, anywhere you like to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Folktale Project. You can find us on Auto Radio, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Spotify, anywhere you like to listen. And you can always head over to folktaleproject.com, where you'll find a new story waiting for you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Don't forget that if you enjoyed this episode, head back and listen to the first 5 stories. You can find them on, well, wherever you're listening to this podcast, or if not, you can always head over to folktaleproject.com. Next week, we'll be back with 3 new chapters from The Story of Our Son. As always, thank you so much for listening.